Hello, everybody. Good to see you. Wait for everyone to get here. Okay. Well, I'll get started. So I'm excited. As always, I'm excited for our call today. We're gonna have some fun. But before we do, a couple of housekeeping pieces. So first of all, we had a great open house, Sacred Depths open house last week. For those of you that were able to be there, I thank you for coming. I hope that you really enjoyed it. We got to get into some archetype work, which was really fun, and do somatic work. I promised those of you that invited friends who, came, I promised you an extra little gift, the referral magnet home study program. You get to listen to more hours of me talking and teaching. But since you sent referrals, I want to give you a training on how to create more referrals in your business. Of course, we know the best way to create referrals in your business is just to do amazing work, which is what we've been doing here over the last 10 months. But there are also other things to consider. Anyway, I know, for example, of course, we forgot to track like who sent who for the open house. So I know for sure, I know Michaelin had friends there. I know Amy had friends there. I posted in the Facebook group, if you had a friend there, just let me know so that I can send you the referral magnet home study. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I so appreciate it. And also, just so you all know, and this is also modeling, asking for referrals, I will in a month or two send everybody an invitation. Number one, to have a ticket for free for all of you for Art of Client, the next Art of Client Transformation. So just so you know, if you want to be there, put it on your calendars. It's March 2nd through 4th. It's a 3-day intensive. It is, for those of you that have done it before, you know it's amazing. It is like 3 days. You get to do a little bit of review of Sacred Depths pieces. We go really deep. It's an incredible community. If you've done it before, do it again. You also get to see me model not only group leadership, but you get to see me model preview presentation because it is also a preview for Sacred Depths. You'll each also get an opportunity to have an extra ticket or two to bring a friend for free to that. So you'll get all of that in probably in December. And I'll also ask you if you want to become affiliates and share it with your communities, your larger communities as well. Okay, so let me know if you had someone at the open house so I can give you a referral magnet. The other thing I didn't mention about the open house, and if any friends come to Art of Client Transformation, if they sign up for Sacred Depths, you get money from me too. You get $300 as a thank you. Okay. Next week is our last class. Oh my gosh, it's our last class. And Jolly, yeah, if she was there for part of it, I will for sure send you a referral magnet. Thanks for letting me know. So we have our last class next week. It is a 3-hour class. I want to make sure you have it on your calendars. It is from 11 to 2 Eastern. I know, I don't know how it's possible that it's our last class, but it is. It is going to be an amazing ending to our very meaningful journey that we've been on over these last 10 months. And I think just a really sacred and beautiful way for us to honor all of the work that we've done together and all that all of us together have put into this. If you can be there live, please be there live. We're going to be doing a little bit of ritual. We're going to be talking about ritual and also looking at how to bring ritual to your client work. We are also going to be looking at how to do next steps calls with one-on-one clients. When one-on-one clients are coming to the end of their cycle with you, how to hold a process for aligned people to continue with you. We're also going to be doing an assessment of everything that we've learned over the last 10 months, and you'll have opportunity to really see and assess and integrate all that has moved forward since we started together last February. So all of this is to say two things. Number one, it's going to be amazing. If you can be there live, please be there live. And also number two, to say that it's going to be jam-packed. We're going to be doing a lot. So today is the best day. If you have any questions right now on certification that you want to ask me voice to voice, or if you have any questions just about like the closing of the program or like any random questions that you have, right now is the moment for it, because I don't know that we're going to have time for that next week. Anybody have any questions that you want to ask me on certification or just like at anything that you need logistically right now? Essie, yeah.
I have a bit of anxiety around exams. So if you could give us a bit more info around what that's going to look like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I'm glad you're asking. It's actually like so easy. Whatever anxiety you have about exams, you're not going to have about this one. It's set up exactly like the quizzes from each module are set up. And actually, I think it's like 70% of the questions in the final exam have already been in the quizzes. It's really to review. It's for you to review, to integrate, you know, all of that. And it's open book, meaning your notes, all of the resource pages that I've shared with you, you can go back to recordings, et cetera. It's mostly, if I'm remembering correctly, it's mostly multiple choice, but there are a couple of, not essay, but, you know, like short answer questions as well. I think it's pretty breezy and nothing to worry about. It's really just, as a way of reviewing one last time and integrating. It's pass or fail. Is that helpful, Essie?
Yeah, that's really great. And do we do it all? I can't imagine we'll all be doing it at the same time. Do we get sent it out and then we send it back in? How does the logistics of it work?
Exactly. We'll send it out to you not until after we're done with the program. I can't remember the date. I'll find out about that. Let me make a note. And then you do it and you hand it in with your materials, or whenever you want to, even before the materials is fine. Yeah. Okay, good. Angela is asking in the chat if we'll continue to have community call. The community calls are only for folks that are continuing into advanced or advanced depth or into the depth. So actually our community call yesterday was our last official monthly Q&A call for this cohort of Sacred Depths. Any other questions that anybody has right now? What do you need from me? Nothing else? Yeah, Nell.
I'm just looking at the certification for like the partner hours. And I've been writing down throughout the date of my sessions with my coaching buddy, but I didn't look at this sheet from the beginning. So I don't have the notes for each specific one. Is that kind of mandatory to go along with it, to write notes for each session? Because I haven't been doing that. I'm just realizing.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit, just, you know, so we can track and you can track what you've been receiving from mm-hmm. each. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can cobble it together from mm-hmm. any notes that your partner has, or mm-hmm. as much as, what I'd say is, as much as you can remember,
okay,
you know, from the different sessions, put it in there and we'll make it work.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Kelly, we're not deleting everything in the Facebook group. So it's the Facebook group, everything that's there already will be there for everybody. You can continue to come back to it. We're archiving it. So it just means that no new comments are going to be added or no new material will be added, but everything that's there, you can go back to whenever you need to. Okay, great. Any other cues? No. Okay. Okay, so we are going to do something a little different today. It's a great time in the program to do it. I'm going to be issuing you throughout the next hour-ish a couple of small, fun coaching challenges. And these coaching challenges are a way to kind of integrate what we've been doing and continue to build some muscles, especially as we move towards your second recordings for certification, for those of you that are doing it. And even if you're not doing certification, these are just kind of fun ways to sort of to practice and bring things together. They're not things that you would do in a real coaching session, but they're good stretches for us to do in these practice ways. So I'm going to issue a coaching challenge, and then you'll go off into breakout rooms and you'll complete your challenge. And then we'll come back and talk about it. And then we'll move on to the next challenge. So it does require you being active for the practicum and practicing your coaching with a partner in a very particular way. You'll see as we get into it. So here's what we're going to do for the first one. Hold on, I'm just looking at the breakout room. So this is great. We have an even amount of people, so we can have an even amount of partners of two. For your first challenge, here's what I would like for you to do. You're gonna have 15 minutes each to coach. And the challenge is you can only ask questions. You can only ask questions. You may not reflect. You may not say what I'm hearing is. You may not make any statements with a period at the end. This is going to be awkward. And of course, you would never do this in a regular coaching session, but this is to play, to build the questioning muscle a little bit more. You're gonna see a lot is gonna happen. Ask a question, get an answer, do not reflect or validate, ask the next question and ask the next question. For sure, start off, remember to start off with what's your intention, what do you wanna receive? And 15 minutes will go by fast, right? You might get to the end, you might not, but let's see how it goes. I'll break you out. We'll do first partner session, 15 minutes. And then I think I'm going to bring us back in. We can talk about what you learned and how it went. And then I'll put you back out. any questions before you go off into questioning, into your questioning journey? Any questions? No? All right. Oh, Amy, do you have a question? I can't see everybody when they raise their hand in their box. You have to raise in the...
Sorry, I'm on my phone and I can't navigate it very well. But my question is, we're going to be in the same pair and we'll go back into the big breakout room. So just pick who's going to go first and then we'll go back with the same partner.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I see Alta saying in the chat that you cannot do it. I wonder if I have you in a room already, Alta. I don't think I, somehow you didn't, you're not in there. So I think it all works. All right. I am going to send you off. So Alta, if you can't participate, probably the rest of this call isn't going to do much for you. I'm sorry. But for everyone else, I'm going to send you off to your rooms. Have fun. I'll keep time for you. I'll let you know when you have about 3 minutes left. And then the timer will go on with 60 seconds left, and then we'll come back in. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Carla, Anna, and Randa, are you guys there? Oh, you're unassigned. Did you come in a little late? Let me get you assigned.
I've been having difficulty, so I've been popping in and out. I have no idea what we're doing.
Okay, so I'll tell for you and Randa. Randa, are you there? So I issued a coaching challenge. I'm going to put you and Randa in a breakout room. The coaching challenge is one of you will go first. You'll have 15 minutes to hold a coaching session, but you're only allowed to ask questions. You can't reflect. You can't say, this is what I'm hearing. You can't validate. It's nothing you would ever do in a regular coaching session. It's a way to kind of build the questioning muscle and see what comes up with it and go with it. So the first coaching challenge is you've got 15 minutes with your client. I'll put the two of you in a breakout room, and it's only asking questions, nothing else.
15 minutes each then?
Yep, but I'm going to pull everybody back after the first partner group and we'll kind of discuss how it went. And then then you'll go back in for the second group.
Okay.
Right. So it's just start with what's your intention, you know, like you would in any session, and then just question, answer, and see how it goes and take your time to develop the questions.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll put you into your rooms. How do I add a new room? Assigned. Shoot. It's not letting me. Add a new room for the two of you. Oh no. You know what, Art, why don't you two do it here? Because it's not letting me, I'm going to turn my sound off. It's not letting me put you into a new room for some reason. Okay. So I'm going to turn my sound off. I'm not going to be listening at all. And then I'll just let you both know when we've got a minute left.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Anna, can you hear me? I don't have my headset in.
I can't hear you. Yes. And I apologies. I was like cooking myself some breakfast. So I'm like, I'm going to put that on pause just for this activity. But
what did you say? You cannot hear me.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I don't even have that. Thanks. yeah, no, I've been having trouble with the internet today. So I have to keep it off so it won't put me out again.
Okay. Would you, are you open to going first just as I finish my matcha, which will take me a couple minutes, and then so I just don't feel like I can be 100% present.
Then
what's that?
So you want me to ask the questions to you then?
To go first, is that okay with you?
Yeah, I don't mind. Okay. Somewhat present.
So I just didn't hear that one last thing you said.
You know, grab a headset so you can hear me. So will you be able to answer some of the questions then?
Yeah, I'm just wrapping. I'm going to put this on pause. I just had a couple things on the stove. I don't want to leave like burning. So.
Totally. So Anna, what are you coming into today with that I can be of support for you?
I think the theme that I am working with right now is commitment and not allowing myself to like sway or just go in different directions when things get hard, but like what does commitment actually look like for me in the context of my business and my health?
Oh, business and your health, you said?
Yeah.
So when you first mentioned the word commitment, in what way are you finding that you're struggling with that piece?
It shows up in a million different ways, to be honest. I think sort of stems from, you know, the first 30 years of my life, I was moving in one direction and I built a lot of things. A relationship, I was married, I had a home, I had a career, and sorry, I just like ran upstairs now. I'm all out of breath.
had all of
and
that.
And after an awakening process, I changed and I let everything go. And it was just really incredibly painful to have to deconstruct like commitments that I had been building for such a long time. Mm. And so I think there's a piece of fear around committing to the wrong thing.
Huh?
And I think there's also a fear of like the responsibility that then inherently comes with committing to building something and the people who will come into my space as a result. And again, also being kind of afraid of like people needing something from me and me not being able to handle it.
So there's a couple of pieces in there. Do you mind if I just ask you a couple of questions on those?
Please.
So the first one you mentioned is that commitment, you're afraid or there's a fear of committing to the wrong thing. Now, do you feel like when you made those commitments to relationship, to your career at that time, were those the wrong commitments for you at that time?
That's such a good question. No, they were absolutely not. And I don't regret them in any way.
Okay. So that's the first part there. So if you made decisions at that time that were correct for you or right for you, where is the fear holding now as to a new commitment or something different when you are a different person?
I think it's very similar to like the way that I think about having an open heart. It's almost like the consequence of choosing to live life in that way. you know, like you get some heartbreak, you can't avoid it. You commit to something and you change, like change is a constant. It doesn't mean that whatever is built in the process doesn't also have value, even if it doesn't last forever.
So what is living from that heart space that you just mentioned? What does that look like for you right now?
I think it means coming into situations and relationships with an openness and desire for connection, and a willingness to offer love without any expectation of, any expectation. I think it also means to feel, like to like feel deeply all the things. And to not shut that down or close it off when it feels hard.
And was that a conscious choice of yours?
Yes and no. I think I had a moment of an awakening experience that like really opened my heart, and it just changed me. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways I don't discredit my devotion to that path and my commitment to that way of living as a result of having seen it. But I also, I didn't consciously choose to experience it in the first place. It's just now become kind of a compass for me.
And if you were to look at that piece right there and recognize that choice is yours, what would you consciously choose to be your guiding compass at this point in time?
This is so great. It's funny, I actually think that those two things come together in that question. Mm-hmm. Of like when commitment is made from the heart and from a place of devotion to what really matters to me, that it's always the right thing, even if it changes later on. And so I think my choice would be like to listen to that knowing in my heart of what the commitments are that actually really matter to me that I want to be making, instead of the ones that I maybe feel like I should.
Right.
Sorry, say that again.
Peace, right.
You cut out again. I just heard the last part.
Should. Sorry, I know my internet's not great right now.
Oh, that's okay. This has been really, really wonderful. So even with some lost words, it's great.
So what are the external voices right now that are influencing these two pieces here? The one of fear of making heartfelt decisions and fear of commitment.
I think it really comes from, two places. I think it's, if I commit again and I open up my space for other people to come in, like that sense of responsibility really scares me. Of if I build something, I have responsibility for what I build. If I bring people into my space, I have some responsibility. Of course, not all the responsibility, but some for what it is that I'm offering to them. And I think that part of my journey these last few years has really been needing to like prioritize myself and in some ways to like cocoon a little bit from expectations of the world around me. And I think that I'm like, can I handle it? Like, do I have the capacity to like hold these things that I want to build? And then the second piece is, I don't want to do it alone.
Is that relationship piece that you were talking about?
No, I think that that's also in business, like the things that I want to build.
Oh.
I don't want to hold the responsibility for all of those things on my own. Like I really want to do that in collaboration and, or to feel supported in it, whether it's somebody who's like actually in the business piece with me or not. Just like feeling. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if I know what that means, but that's definitely one that's present.
Has that been present for a while, or is that a newer one?
It's a newer one, actually, as I really let myself like vision what I really want to build, kind of short term and long term. I think the bigness of my vision excites me and scares me. And the piece that just really kept coming through is like, I feel like I have this belief that leadership is lonely. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to do it alone.
Okay. What support systems do you have now that are holding that space for you? Or do you actually have support systems that make you feel not alone in this process?
I have a lot. I mean, I'm in this program and I have a lot of really rich relationships with other, mostly women who are on a similar path, but they're informal. It's kind of like there's no specific structures of support built around this. Interestingly, I think.
You feel like you need structure?
I was just going to say, I actually think that structure in and of itself would be, in the absence of a person, would actually feel like supportive scaffolding for me around decision making and following through with commitments and what that actually means.
So aside from the business part there, the personal parts of your life, how do you feel about your support systems that are currently in place?
I'd say medium. I just came off of, again, this period of, you know, leaving my marriage and leaving my home back in Boston. And I was nomadic for a year last year and literally just moved to Boulder. And so I feel like I'm really in the process of like rebuilding community, especially mm-hmm. locally. Okay. And there are pieces of that that feels really, really awesome. And there are pieces that just don't feel like they're quite there yet.
Which makes sense. You've just moved. Which
makes sense, totally.
When you think
it'll be absent for sure.
If you were to think about support,
just so you know, everyone will be back here in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
What is the feeling of all of having a support system that you need or want in place? What does that feel like to you? What would that feel like to you?
I feel like literally being held, like I can just relax because something else is holding me. I'm seeing people happen. So
that's beautiful, that piece there. So
okay. Yeah, thank you so much, Randa. That was really wonderful.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Just wait for everyone to get here. Hi. So how'd that go? What'd you see? What'd you learn? Yeah, it was short. I know, it was a quickie. Who wants to share? I'd love to hear a couple of voices on this. What'd you see? What'd you learn? Deva.
Hi. I thought that was so powerful. It was so insightful just to keep asking questions. And I would find where I wanted to reflect something and I'm like, just go deeper, and how the continual questions really just open this whole path. And it was really powerful. We didn't realize, I don't know if we were just supposed to do one person, but
just one. Yeah, we're just okay, doing good. One so yeah, that far.
Really, really special. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Yeah, we forget, right? We forget sometimes how powerful just the questions can be. We think we need to contextualize. I mean, I'm a big contextualizer and it's great, right? But the questions can be so powerful. Marianne.
I was the coachee. I was with Maria, who did an amazing job. And it's so fascinating. Like, I love asking questions. So I was like immediately excited about the exercise. And I think what's really, a couple things are really cool about it. First is just, if you only ever just ask questions, look what you can achieve. Like if you only just ever ask questions and nothing else, that's kind of an amazing experiment with like stripping down coaching to the bare bones. I love that. And then what I noticed as the person being coached, what was really helpful for me, and we were just talking about this before we hop back on, by asking the questions and allowing me to kind of verbalize things out loud, there was something landed for me about the value of hearing myself say something that I needed to hear from myself. And it happened multiple times. And I don't think I ever really noticed that before. I mean, I understand the value of like verbal processing, but because it was so one-sided and she was only asking questions, I got to really dig into this topic in a way. And it also helped. The other thing was it gave me space. Like a lot of the things that she asked me about have been brewing in my brain for months. It's about a relationship I'm having. So like I've thought about this thing and this little piece and this aspect over here, but it gave me a space to just lay it all on the table and process it all together. And there was huge value in that. And just helping me figure out what I need around this particular boundary setting thing I'm going through. So thank you, Maria. And that was really fun exercise.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad that you received so much. And I love that you're sharing this piece around it, kind of put more of the onus on you as the client in a good way to do the work and to process. And then that helped you integrate it more and it gave you space. Good. Kelly.
I would echo everything that Marianne just said, except that I was working on a different piece. But I had Angela, who was amazing. And she literally, like, the only thing she didn't ask questions on was like getting us started and just allowing me to tune in. Cause I was like, I don't even know what I want to talk about. And I wasn't really feeling ready, but there was a piece I really needed help with. And literally in 12 minutes, I was like, all done. And she was amazing at asking questions. I just lost her, but it was really cool to have this belief. Like I have this belief, like my clients know everything they need to know. And I know that it's just a matter of like, you know, lifting away the veil that's in the way of them seeing it. I feel like Angela just asked the questions and helped me lift away the veil. And all of a sudden it was all there. And it was really cool. Thank you.
Yes. I mean, when we create awareness and make reflections, it also reflects the client's inner wisdom for sure. But again, back to what we learned in questioning, you know, are we relying too much on making statements, on like bringing our own, we can bring our own wisdom in through how we ask questions for sure. But are we relying too much on consulting when really the client has so much more to bring to the table?
Yeah.
Good. Michaelyn.
Ditto to what everyone has said before, but just from a physical standpoint, it was a real gut check for me being the questioner. And I realized how much I depend on my blessing, like of things that the client has said, or my approval or my opinion, like, holy cow, what a way to expose my inner energetics about that. So kind of brutal, but fun. Thanks, Amy. She was great.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're seeing that. And again, we want those pieces in our coaching. Those aren't wrong. Our clients do need reflections and validation and honoring and celebrating and acknowledging all the things we learned, you know, in creating awareness. But it's, are we relying too much on that? Okay, good. I'm going to take Barbara and Brenda, and then we're going to go back in for the next round. Barbara.
I just think this is so powerful to really reaffirm skills that we have that, you know, we think, oh, we have to bring all this to the table. And, you know, I was like, wow, this is moving the needle. And are we all done? Maybe, maybe not, but it's moving the needle. And it was so simple. So I think it for me helped kind of to undermine any imposter syndrome about my capability, you know, because it's like, you know, here, all I did was ask questions And guess what? It was helpful. So it doesn't have to be, you know, all these bells and whistles to make it still helpful and effective for our clients. So I just thought it was a great process to like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in practicum today. Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Ah, am I ready? You know, bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Yeah. And that's the other reason why I'm bringing it in, and I'm bringing it in now, is because you all have learned so much. I know that everybody here, like, there's no way that you could be in this program for this 10 months and not have really good skills. And so I'm so glad you can see that. Good. And Brenda.
I had a similar experience to Michaelyn. I realize how much I depend on reflecting and validating and all that. And it just felt so clunky to just ask questions. It was like, I'm listening going, okay, how do I ask a question about that without doing this? What am I going to say next? It was really hard in a way. It made me think in a different way. So it was a good exercise. I probably need to do more of that.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Like, right? Like, when it's hard, that's when you're stretching. So I'm so glad.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're going to go in for round two. You'll have 15. I got so overexcited about this that I forgot to give you all time to like reflect before bringing you back into the main room. So I'll give you time to reflect this time as well. You'll have 15 minutes for the coaching and then 3-4 minutes for reflections on how it went.
Joanna, Carla, I have a quick, I switched from phone to computer. So I don't know if I'm actually in a room. I was with Brenda. So I'm just letting you know so I can be put in.
I'll put you back in. And Randa and Anna, I tried so hard to figure out how to get the two of you into an actual breakout room. And I couldn't. So you'll just use the main room again.
Okay. And Joanna, I'm the same as Carla. I switched to my computer and I'm with Michaelyn. Room 5.
So give me, I'm going to send everybody off and then give me a second to sort. I'm not the best on technology. I'm going to do my best here. All right. I'm going to open the rooms and then get everybody where they need to go, hopefully. Let's see. So Carla was with Brenda, room 9. Amy was with Michaelyn, room 5. And Randa and Anna, you guys all stay here. I'm gonna go on mute again.
Perfect, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Hi, Randa. You ready to jump in?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So what are you bringing to the call today that you'd like to explore?
I think repeated patterns of working my butt off and putting my heart and soul into things and then kind of burning out. I literally just said that on the phone with my going forward business partner. And I'm just like, this is my habit. I get all in. And then I'm like, want to get everything done out the door and get it off my plate so I can move on to the next thing. But I do have a habit of heart and soul, putting everything into one and just making it happen. And then I get tired.
Mm. Can you paint a picture for me of what that cycle looks like?
Good question on how to describe it. Thank you. Yes. So it's one of the ways I work is because I care about effort in equals reward out, or I work really hard when I care about stuff and when I'm passionate about it. So I tend to try not to have too many eggs in different baskets, because that is something that doesn't work for me, because I just get really distracted. So right now, I even talked to Joanne about this not that long ago, and it was like, what are all the upcoming courses and what's, and I was like, I am burnt out. I cannot think about taking on any new stuff. So even in the last month or so with Sacred Depths, I'm just like, I am going to try to catch up at some point. In my business, I have moved all of my offerings onto kind of one offering now. It's a 6-month program, and I'm trying to get it all partially automated and streamlined, so I don't have 7 different messages going out. I've hired a social media woman to help me, and that's been a learning curve, which is somewhat exhausting. At the same time, I wanted them to take more stuff off my plate, but they also need handholding, which is where I'm not wanting to have to put my energy. And then there's one other egg in a basket, which is starting up a wellness hub, which is a center in this town, which has been on my mind for a while. And a space showed up 2 months ago, which is a block from the house. The landlady is amazing. And we're just trying to work out the details on making this happen. And so the business plan is literally almost out the door today, because of, and this is my business partner, I'm working with her. And she was kind of dropping balls and not as involved over the last few weeks. So I'm just like, okay, we need to get this out the door, because I can't have this hanging over our head any longer. And if wherever she dropped the ball, I picked up the pieces. And yeah, so a lot of things happening at the same time. And I had knee surgery last week. And so this week I'm like, this is my week off. And instead I'm just sitting at the desk and trying to finish all the other things that have been left behind. So I'm tired. Yeah.
So tell me when you have what you're referring to as kind of this kind of like all in energy, right? Effort in yields, results returned. What falls away for you when you put everything into your projects?
What falls away? Like the other things that end up not having time for is like full presence with family. Now, to be honest, joy right now. I'm feeling not the ability to be present and joyful, because like my guts are kind of upside down probably since the surgery last week, and we had to go to Edmonton for a funeral last weekend. So there's just been a lot on the go. So my sleep hasn't been as good, and yeah, I'm just a little more cranky these days, in short, with family. Yeah.
And what do you believe would happen if you were to slow down?
So with the business plan, our landlady will give the place to somebody else. And it takes, we just found out last week, it takes a whole month to get a loan. And so that either needs to move forward or it needs to end. Like, we will lose the place. And if we lose a place like this, I'm going to be losing the space I'm working out of in short order. So then I have to find another place to work out of, which is a whole other ball of wax that I've been looking for a couple of years. So yeah, there's like, I'll disappoint her. I'm not totally going to disappoint myself if the hub doesn't actually end up going through. I just want to find a space that works for me in the long run, that I don't get frustrated by people slamming the door and making noise. And that's been an ongoing annoyance. So for myself, yeah, like I feel like things just need to be either like complete. They need to be completed so that I can move that off to the side. And when we were in the planning blueprinting thing yesterday, all of the things that I'm doing of hiring someone to do social media, streamlining my marketing, only providing one service, all of this is for the means to have more space. And all of these things line up with that, which is looking forward to being able to take more time off and have enough income, et cetera, et cetera. The business hub is the one that is, I kind of need to know if it's going forward or not, because it's just sitting there in the back of my mind. And that is a bit exhausting, just whether the energy is going somewhere that is fruitful or not. That's what I kind of need finished, complete.
Have you ever had a period of time in your business where things have felt balanced in terms of rest and output?
I think there was a time last year where I had I hosted a retreat last November. I had 3 clients sign up right away. I was like, oh, I actually have to tell people there's a wait list. So that felt like flow. And there's been spurts of that. And this year, my commitment was sacred depths, get transformational coaching techniques to add to what I'm already doing, get a stamp of approval, learn, and then I'm kind of done. So my learning and application, it's all trying to funnel into this space of ease, the space of flow. And so it has been a huge push to get to this point of allowing that for that to happen. But then I basically burnt out after I presented this thing, and I haven't gotten any new clients since I presented this new program, which was a month ago. Only a couple of weeks ago, actually. But yeah.
Do you have a sense of when you're kind of jumping into needing to get things done, what it feels like when you're approaching your limits?
Yes. And I've been kind of setting these warning signals of I need to create more space. I needed to not take on any clients this week. Making commitments just basically have to go to the side. I knew there was going to be a massive push till November 1st. And I even brought my mom out knowing that all of this was coming and saying, I'll be able to talk to you on November 1st. And yeah, things didn't get completed by that time. So there's still these lingering bits. So I think I have a heads up, hey, I'm going to fail. Hey, I've overcommitted myself. Or just keep pushing through. There's a bit of confusion on just keep pushing through until blah, but the blah hasn't come yet. This space and time to be done.
Just keep pushing through until you achieve the result.
Whatever. Well, until I complete the task. I have a task list here, and this morning was quite productive, and I have 4 more things I want to get done by the end of the day, and then the next 3 days are quote unquote not planned, and so that will hopefully provide the space for me to, and I've told myself as of last night, I'm like, I just need to rest when I need to rest this week, so that I am recovering.
And do you feel you've been able to step into that?
No, that was literally a decision last night. And I'm looking at my schedule today going, okay, I have my physio, and then I need to get this business plan finalized and sent out. And then I don't have anything on my list for tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And as long as I keep that open, then maybe I will create the space for that.
And when you have this, this part of you that's kind of signaling maybe approaching burnout or approaching limitations, what gets in the way of being able to listen to and really honor that part of you?
Stuff that needs to still be done. And if I don't do it, it's not getting done. Things like running the business, making sure that the social media posts are up and the people I've hired are dropping the ball on things. And I add more to my plate sometimes when I have space, which is one thing that I think could go away. But I haven't, and I've been trying to hire people who I think are responsible and delegate and then walk away. But on Sunday night, I literally was looking at this post and I'm like, this is the wrong post. And then on Monday morning, they posted it and it was wrong again. And I'm like, oh my God. And I literally just called the social media lady an hour and a half ago. And I said, this can't keep happening. I need to be able to check out. This is why I hired you.
And we've been working on these same issues for the last 4 months. So when I have that piece of like, okay, I can be hands off and it's going to be done mostly the way I want it to be done, then I can actually let go. But when I'm seeing that not happening, then I'm struggling with letting it go. Because my business is on the line, and that's, you know what it's like to run your own business.
So it sounds like a weird question.
It's okay.
But is there any part of you that benefits from being the doer and the problem solver and the one who holds everything?
Is there a part? Yes. Well, I'm pretty sure it stems back to like I was the sole caregiver for my child for the first 3.5 years of his life because my husband was emotionally and very not present and physically very not present. And so if I wasn't there, there was nobody there. So I just took it on because I can do it and I know how to do it and I care enough. Now he's here and he's present and I do let go of some of that. So that part there has been a huge learning for me to be able to let him step in and I can trust that my child is safe and I can walk away. It might just come back to the feeling of safety and the feeling of the ability to let go of things where I don't feel like I have that ability to do so when, say, my business, it's a part of me. Like I care a lot about what I do and I have a really hard time seeing other people bullshit their way through how they present themselves and who they are and what, how much I think it's just tied in. And so for me, coaching is a part of me and there's an emotional piece that I can't let go of. There's an emotional piece where I don't hold on to my client's stuff for longer than, you know, their session, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe just, yeah, a feeling of not feeling safe enough to let go.
Is there any lesson that you learned from this transition with your husband and your son around the safety of letting go that would benefit the professional you to hear about your business?
Took a long time for me to let go and let go of that piece. I don't know. In some ways I know that I'm right when I don't feel safe enough to trust something, especially something that I care that much about. I probably need to let go of some of the business stuff because it's not the same as my child and let some people step in. I feel like when I have an expectation and I let people step in and take over and then they disappoint me, then I just step in and I just do it because I'm like, well, fuck it. If you're going to do it wrong, then sorry, I don't mean to swear. I'm just going to do it myself. And if you're going to not, you know, let me be heard and seen, and then I'm just going to do it myself because that's a constant. And yet letting go of that need to control was definitely a hard lesson learned, and it took years. Even to today, even to this, yeah, to this day of like, we just booked my husband tickets to Toronto for Christmas. And I'm like, you don't need to come. Like, you haven't come for 4 years. I don't know why. And I had to let go of letting him come and show up. And that's, so it's still an ongoing process of trust.
It's my home city too.
Interesting.
Side note. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I saw Joanna said we only had a couple minutes, but I guess my last question is, I'm not quite sure how to phrase this just as a question without a reflection. But I guess when these parts of you that need something for you in your body to feel really healthy and energized and not burnt out, when they're communicating something to you. Mm-hmm. Is there a way that you can show up in trust for that part of you to meet those needs without sacrificing your feeling of safety in general for both to have space?
Mm. Hey, just so you know, I'm going to give everyone a minute to come back.
Okay. I think that's something to consider. I don't have a straight answer for that right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Any reflections? I really enjoyed the questions from the opposite side.
Oh. Actually,
it's super, super valuable just to like.
I clicked out and I wasn't through with, sorry, just left her hanging. Hey, Brenda. You're muted.
You left me.
I know, I clicked the wrong button. I don't know what button I was trying to click, but so we debrief in front of everybody here.
We'll wait another couple minutes till everyone gets here. Miranda and Anna, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
It's all good.
So I'll just say I think I cheated because I led off every question with reflection or something like that. But I ended it with a question mark.
I know, I love that you. Yeah, I kind of did that too a little bit. How can I turn this into a question?
So,
given that, blah, 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 what do you think of?
Welcome back, everyone.
Okay.
Sounds like there were some reflections with question marks on the end. That's okay. Right. It's like I said at the start, this is all just for fun and seeing and stretching and right. And playing. So what'd you notice this time? What would you see? What are you learning? Jackie.
Yeah, that was a really powerful process. I was on the receiving end of the questions this time. And Essie did a really great job. And I was amazed again, like how much we got through in just by asking questions and just in 15 minutes. It was really powerful. But as we were reflecting, some really, really powerful truth emerged, I think, for both of us. And we both were realizing how incredible it is to have somebody just asking questions as you're sharing things in response to the previous question. And then they're asking another question and then another question, because it felt natural. I wasn't sitting there worried about what question is she going to ask, you know, but it's really powerful to have somebody else be highly curious about what's going on in your world. And then to ask another question and like to hold the space for you to sit and find the answers within. Such a cool process to go through.
Yes. Yeah. And that feels similar to what Michael is saying in the chat. She's saying, I felt really special being the focus of so many questions. I don't experience that often. There is something I think that happens even when we're approaching with an equal playing field, even when we know that the client's wisdom knows best. I think there is always a little bit of a taste when we're reflecting something back versus asking a question of like, ooh, I'm about to say something smart here. Again, there's nothing wrong with that at all, but there is something about just being asked questions and being able to answer and being heard in that way. Angela.
Hi, hello. I have such a wonderful session with Kelly. Was very, as Jackie was saying, about that flow, about being curious and just engaging with the momentum, you know, and was very interesting because this morning I received a letter for a proposal that I might go to do some studies. And I was thinking about Kelly, actually, one session that we did together about, she talked about all the trainings that she was doing. And I thought about her, and today you put us together, and she was doing something about Kundalini Yoga. And then I just love this universal consciousness that puts people together, and how then once you are tuning to that, when you go and do those questions and connect deeper with that universal consciousness, it's just so beautiful. So I'm very grateful for Kelly for her wonderful questions and how helped me a lot. So it was beautiful. Thank you, Joanna, for allowing that to happen too.
You're so welcome. I love that. Carla.
Hi, that was actually wicked fun. And I don't know if it's just because Brenda's wicked fun. But I did find myself reflecting or corralling the ideas, because there were a lot, you know, there were a lot of things, and to sort of bring it back to focus, it required a little bit of reframing and maybe reflecting, but knowing that that was all like leading into a question kept me out of going into consulting or running away with the session. I knew it had to go right back to her.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was really helpful. And I think it might not be bad in a real life coaching session to know that all those reflections need to end with a question.
Yes. Yes. I would say yes to that. Awesome. That's just such a great knowing to take with you. Good. AJ saying in the chat, it felt really special to be the recipient of questions. Yeah. Hearing that as a theme, right? To be encouraged to keep going a bit deeper and more honest with each question. I love that. Kelly.
I think this is just a slight tweaking of what I said earlier, but there's like something happening. And I think it's been a little bit, I've been playing in the field of consciousness in the last few days and just looking at like space and time and sinking into the universal consciousness. And I was thinking about how when we reflect questions to another being in this sort of universal, in this universe, it's like really just like all these little atoms and particles and waves mirroring back to each other what we already know. And there was just something really beautiful and spiritual and like really powerful about both being heard and asked questions. And I love asking questions, but I don't get asked them very often. And if I'm asked, it's often with advice. And it was so powerful to just have to come up with it on my own. And it wasn't actually that hard. And then in coaching Angela as well, it was just like the questions were just kind of coming through, and she knew exactly what she needed to know. And even as I was asking the question, she's like, I was just having that question too. And if something just really, I'm not finding the right words, but there's just like something about the mirroring in this space that's really, really powerful. So thank you.
I love that. Yeah. It's like, it's in the field, and to use the language we've been using in Sacred Depths, like it's in the container, right? So when you have that tight container, there is that mirroring and the kind of knowing and the antenna are out, and it comes up in that field of the container. I love that. Jackie.
I guess round two. So I had this other awareness show up as everybody was processing that. I think it's amazing just how, even though we're all focused on questions, how we could all access a lot of different techniques through the questioning modality. So it really did still allow us to do the sacred dance of coaching, and everybody's talking about, you know, like doing reflecting back and ending it in a question, or Essie did a really beautiful process of like bringing me into my body through question. So I'm just noticing this really neat pattern that even just the questioning process still allowed us to do the sacred dance, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I love that. I'm glad you're bringing that in. And I'll, based on that, I'm going to ask another question too of everyone. Can start raising hands. I'm going to get Amy too. Think back to the two sessions that you just had through the questions. How many of the four levels of learning and processing got activated? So how did that come through? Amy.
I just wanted to share that in normal sessions, I think I tend to move too quickly, just in general in my life. I think a little quickly, I move quickly. And when Michaelin was coaching me, she went first. She was nice and slow, and it took her a long time to formulate the questions. And as the coachee, that gave me lots of time to continue to have new ideas on my side. And I realized when I was the coach, my questions, I was formulating them early, you know, as she was still talking. I noticed the speed in myself of like, what's my next question going to be? Or I got to think of another one. And just this desire in me to just settle and slow down. And so just to say, I'm learning about myself a lot here. And I love this challenge of just asking questions, because it goes against my consulting thing that I do.
Yeah, it's such a great awareness and such a great reflection, and something to start watching a little bit more for sure. Good. I feel like I saw, AJ's saying in the chat, I'm also noting now some feelings of appearing self-centered, a childhood message. Yeah, so I mean, how often when we're younger or even throughout our lives, do we really have the opportunity to be fully focused on and listened to, right? And what are some of the messages that we've received subtly or not so subtly about wanting that or getting to have that? And remember, you know, I've said a number of times over the last 10 months, there's always at least two threads going on in your sessions. Top thread is the actual content, right? Whatever you're talking about, whatever goals you're moving towards, very important. The other thread is about the container and the energy in the container and the relationship between the practitioner and the client, and the ways that the container and the energy and the relationship, I'm always hesitant to use this word, but for lack of a better word in this moment, are healing and corrective of older patterns. Good. Who else? Who else wants to share? What are you seeing? Or what did you notice about four levels of learning and processing? Now, Jackie's asking me to say what I just said again. So there's always two threads going on in any session. There's the actual, what you're working on, the how you're reaching the goal, the new awarenesses that are coming through, you know, all of that. And then there's what's happening in the container, right? So as an example, and that is so important. So as an example, Amy's saying the meta thread. So, when we celebrate our clients, it's not just to get them to the goal that we're working on. It's supporting them to learn how to become more comfortable acknowledging and celebrating ourselves. When we're slowing down the space in the container, we're co-regulating with our clients. We're teaching them how to get more regulated, even when they're talking about things that can be activating and scary for them. When we are with love, without expecting anything in return and without judgment, focusing on our clients and really listening, it might bring up tension that we're going to talk about, that we might talk about, right? Like AJ said, but we're also over time supporting our clients to build the muscle of knowing that they deserve to feel, to be seen and heard and get to be focused on. Anyone want to share about four levels of learning and processing? It's okay if not, but wondering if you're seeing anything there. Yeah, Jolly.
Sorry, didn't unmute. I really appreciated my session with Carmen, who I think had to leave, so I don't see her here, but she, you know, I thought she did a really wonderful job of, you know, looking at beliefs and fears and then coming back to the body and then asking, you know, the questions really were a way to ignite curiosity within myself. So, you know, just from that point of view, I really appreciated it. But she said something that I thought was interesting. I had gone first, and I guess in some ways my default is going to the body. And she said, I really appreciated how you went to the body, but it's something that I hesitate to do with my own clients because I know not everybody likes that. So I just thought, but you know, I was like, but you did that wonderfully with me. I didn't feel like transgressed upon or trespassed on or anything like that. So I just think it is interesting though, because I know I've got a couple of sessions coming up with men. And I will admit that there's a little bit of hesitation. You know, if I say to a guy, it's one thing for me to say to a woman that I have like maybe a certain sense of, hey, can you feel into that? But how do I phrase that to a man that I don't really know very well? So yeah.
It's, I'm glad that you're bringing it forward. And I wish Carmen was here to hear this too. I'll let her know to go back to the recording. So we always, as y'all know, we always want to coach the what based on the who. For some clients, it's like easy peasy, always ready, right? But for others, like what you're describing, it's just about tweaking a little bit and going in some safer ways, right? So for example, it doesn't have to be like, okay, now feel into that, right? Like, but we can still activate the body level by asking a question like, where do you know that in your body? Like, ooh, what you just said rings really true. Where in your body do you know that for sure? Right? Or where in your body do you just feel that like, ugh, I don't want to do this, right? And then we can maybe noodle in a little bit from there as well. You know, like, would it be okay to hone in on your wrist that's really feeling that truth, right? And maybe don't use our like sympathetic voices, right? But use our like everyday, we're just talking about mundane thing voices, right? And go in that way. For other clients, sometimes it is aligned to actually have a conversation about what feels so scary about it, maybe do a little of befriending some fears, even if it's not the somatic process of befriending, right? And then there's more opening to go in there. So there's a lot, we still have many different options to activate the body level of learning and processing or any of the levels of learning and processing. We just want to modulate it so that it works for the person in front of us.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because I think we both really felt, wow, you know, can really feel the power of that process. And it's almost a shame if you can't use it with someone. But I love how you're like, well, you know, okay, just tweak the question. It doesn't have to be this breathy. Now, yeah. So
yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, right. Like where, or even it could be, you know, we can sometimes pick the body part for our clients too. We say something like, Because usually the heart is a common place, right? Like, if your heart had something to say on this, what would it be? So anyway, I'm glad you're bringing that up.
Love that. Thank you.
All right. Based on all that we've looked at today, if there was one place for each of you that you want to like either remember when it comes to questioning or work on when it comes to questioning, what is that place for you? And to use Amy as an example with her share before, just like don't formulate the question when the client starts talking, wait for them to get to the end and take the time with it. That's a great next place to work on if that's what you want, Amy, right? So for each person here, based on what you're seeing, where's the next place for you to be working on with your question? And I'd love to hear some shares and then any last thoughts or takeaways, Brenda.
I want to work on remembering that to end any reflection with a question. That was a really big takeaway.
Yeah, and I want to kind of tweak that to, there are exceptions to every rule. So yes, questioning is very important, but I do also just want to put a pitch in there for sometimes making a reflection and letting it land without a question. We don't want to do this all the time, but you know, we do want to break patterns and disrupt how we're like working sometimes to like make a point, to have a dramatic moment, to let, right? So sometimes we don't have to have every reflection end with a question. Sometimes reflecting something back, sharing like what we're seeing, period on the end of that, and then wait, and then waiting for the client to take it in and see what they say next, is actually masterful coaching as well. I don't want anyone to come away from today's session thinking like we're only asking questions all the time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Barbara.
Well, I kind of want to echo what Ayana just posted in the chat, my great coaching partner. The questioning, keeping the focus on the client's own knowing and getting out of consulting, and that, you know, the word for me was like fixing. And of course, you know, fixing isn't coaching. And yet, do I want to fix things? Of course, I would like things to be better for my clients, right? So it really to me just sets that whole equal playing field, really reinforces that, helps me to continue to see the client as whole and complete, and me as whole and complete. You know, like I don't have to consult and know all the answers. So it's just and I think like as a pattern in coaching over the time span that I'm with a client, not just each session, but over that time span, how really having a strong focus on questioning initially. And Joanna, tell me if I'm getting this right. Uh-oh, I'm using your phrase. That it really, like having a lot of it initially will really just, you know, set that container, a really strong container, and just bring me a lot of information about who the client is, what the client needs, where they want to go, you know, all of that. And I think of like having it be a strong focus initially would be really helpful, I think.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why having an intro questionnaire is really helpful too. It is kind of in this writing way for the client to really focus on themselves, find their own answers, and then give us a lot of information. And then, yeah, I mean, I think
focusing on the beginning, but also throughout. And again, I don't want anyone to walk away from this feeling like it's not okay to just reflect or create awareness or validate or celebrate or acknowledge, you know, all of those. I think those things are important in the beginning too. But yeah, having question, gathering information, definitely important always and especially in the beginning. Good. Cecil.
Yeah, so I had an experience that is kind of feeling calming in asking questions that I want to listen more into, because sometimes when asking questions, it can feel a bit one-sided. And what I sensed was that it's possible to ask questions in a way that you somehow create a container or a ball that you hold the whole situation from all sides, but extend it in time.
Yes.
And that, I can sense that it's giving me a sense of calm, that I can know that I can somehow unfold the whole holding. Yeah, I don't know if I'm making sense.
I think I'm understanding what you're saying. And yeah, I think it has to do with a container, and like the phrase that comes up for me as you're talking is separating the mundane from the sacred. And there's something about, I mean, it's not just with questions, with all of it, where like we hold this tight container and then it becomes this sacred space where so much happens and we're deeply connected with our clients and things are happening on many levels through the questions. Am I getting some of that?
Yes, and it's almost as if each question were a petal in a flower, you know, that would make up the whole picture. So somehow, so it's not that each question has to hold everything.
Absolutely.
Or like be that one perfect question. It's sort of, and then knowing about what question comes next unfolds as the flower unfolds. I don't know. There was something, yeah.
I have that felt sense of what you're talking about. Thank you for sharing. Yes. Marianne saying, I felt the questions only was an opportunity to be fully present in a deeper way. Listen to the client deeply, take it in, really feel into the next question in the moment versus thinking about it and being okay taking a moment to do that. Yes. Jackie's saying, noticing that the words I use in my questions influences the answers. Absolutely. I always want to focus on leaning into the power of asking questions, remembering the power that I felt on the receiving end of the session today. Yes, yes, yes. Good. Nell wants to bring more of the somatic spirit levels in. Good. Y'all are awesome. I'm sending so much love. I hope you enjoyed the session today as much as I did. And I will see you for our closing next week. Have a great, great rest of your week.